The reality for many of you is that investment properties where you live have become absolutely unaffordable. The good news is that there are many cities with affordable properties and many of those under 100K. If you're someone who's ready to buy your first out-of-state property in the next 4 months, then I encourage you to check out my free training that'll break down the process and show you exactly what it takes to invest out of state. I purchased properties out of state and it's changed my life. The same is possible for you. You simply need the right information. My free training will help you take that next step towards buying your first out-of-state property. You can watch the training right now at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode. Again, you can find it at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode. We are quickly approaching the end of 2024, and if you have not purchased an investment property yet this year and it's been one of your goals, I need you to listen very closely. I know many of you live in areas where it's so expensive and investment properties seem impossible. I'm talking about some of the big cities, so LA, New York City, maybe even Seattle, Atlanta, places in Florida, and the list goes on. If you know that where you live is too expensive, I need you to lock in right now. Investing out of state changed my life as somebody living in California. I now invest in Ohio and I'm growing my portfolio. It's something that's possible. You just need the right information and execution. So if that's you, if you want to learn how to invest out of state, go to outofstatemoney.com and there is a free training that'll outline the steps for you and help you understand exactly what it takes. So go to outofstatemoney.com or simply go to the link in the description of this episode.
Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second?
Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue. And the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors.
When people see a development, you know, you'll ride down the street, you'll see the cranes, you'll see the buildings going up, you'll see all that stuff. And from the average person, you're just thinking, all right, eventually they're just going to finish the development. A bunch of people have money and put this thing up. Now the prices are going up in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
But there is a community development aspect of the development process that is not really talked about.
Yeah.
And I'm really glad we're able to talk about it today. So can you talk a little bit more about how community involvement is part of the development process?
Yeah, most definitely. It's interesting because I feel like before recently, and when I say recently, probably within the last decade, but even shorter, community engagement wasn't necessarily a thing. Community partnerships and development wasn't necessarily a thing in the real estate development world at a level where it was done with intentionality. A lot of the times when it was done in a checkboxy way. And so the reason why I point that out is because we're starting to see a shift, albeit a slow shift, a shift in the space of realizing that if developments are supposedly supposed to be done in the right way, in an equitable way, it needs to start from the community, whether or not that building itself is quote unquote for the community. And so what that really looks like is being able to find the people and the places and the spaces that actually make a community what it is. So if a development project is going to go in a certain neighborhood, I truly believe that it is the responsibility of the developer to be able to understand who the community is so that the building and the spaces that they're putting in that community isn't something that's going to detract from what's already there. Not everyone can own that big 30-story tower or that new real estate gem that pops up on the side of a corner and in a neighborhood. But if it's built in the right way and the developers that do own it are working with the community, then there could be resources that are leveraged from that to be able to help the people that are there already. And that's kind of that gray line and that tension line of gentrification versus revitalization. But that's a little bit of a gist of the philosophy behind that.
Gotcha. That's very, very interesting. So if I'm a developer, I'm not a developer, but I'm just, let's pretend I am.
Yeah, not yet.
Not yet. I like that. So if I'm a developer, right, and I you know, I have all my plans, whatever, I'm planning to build my property here, mm-hmm. right, and sell it or rent it out, whatever the case may be. How does it benefit me to involve the community? Because for me, I'm just like, I'm just going to build this thing. We're going to make our money. Mm-hmm. People are going to live in it.
the store's going to be in it. It don't matter what y'all think. What are the benefits of a developer actually involved in the community?
That's a great question. I mean, the return on investment when it comes down to the end of it is always going to be important in any business, but especially real estate development. One of the biggest things that I did while I was in school, even though it wasn't part of my major, I decided to take a lot of the classes around real estate development just so I can understand what do these pro formas look like? What's the reason why certain things are underwritten the way they are? Because when it comes down to it, it's like, what is the mindset of a developer? And what I realized, I guess, I mean, you're the question asker here, but I guess I'll throw a question right back to you. If you were a developer and you were doing a property in one space and you had an opportunity to do more in that same community, wouldn't that be something that you would want to do? Like you're trying to buy the block or things like that.
Yeah.
And that's usually the types of questions I ask is like, is this property that you're doing here, is this the vision of a long-term commitment to a certain neighborhood, which is usually the case. And so one of the major return on investments right away is saying, if you do this first one the right way, the rest of these will come easier in a lot of different ways because of just the long lasting relationships you not only have with the community, but you have with the key stakeholders, the business owners and things like that. It will make your life a lot easier, not only in the development process, but also in the property management process, in just the life of the tenants, whether it's office tenants or residential tenants, whatever it may be, because that community is there and you want to have a space that is looked at and that is you utilize in the best way. So part of it is that. Another part of it too is, I mean, frankly, we're in a day and age, for better or for worse, people really want to look good in the media. And there's nothing worse than a developer coming and putting in a property and every single person around that space hates them, hates the developer, hates the property because they just went in and just plopped it in with absolutely no commitment to being able to speak with the community. So a lot of it, quite frankly, is optics, for better or for worse. My philosophy is that I wanted to get to a space where it's not optics and it's actually doing it for the right reason. But to be quite frank, I mean, that may not have happened for a decent amount of time with certain people. So I'm like, whatever we could do to leverage to make it worthwhile for both ends is really where a lot of that turns.
That makes a lot of sense. So what does that look like as a developer involved in the community? At what stage are they getting feedback? Like, is it like a meeting, an open forum? Like, what does that look like?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I always say that it's important to start this process as early as possible. I mean, in the perfect world, this would be like pre-entitlements. In the perfect world, this would be before you even have a design in mind. Usually that's not when it happens. But I'll say the best case scenario in the majority of projects are, let's get this started from the very first time that you decide to build your project team. So a lot of it too is making sure you're crafting the project team, the design team, around people that can really understand the community, or at least be willing to put in the work to understand the community. So that starts off by finding the right architects, by finding the right engineers, the right consultants that fits for this particular project type. By nature, people tend to work with people that they've worked with before, and that's great. But sometimes that team itself that worked in this neighborhood might not be the best team for this neighborhood. So a lot of the times it's starting to get the developer to understand that from the beginning. Once that process is through, it's really important to have community engagement events and meetings to be able to talk with the key stakeholders that through that process already, we've already started identifying through just strategy sessions and just through with the ways of being able to understand who the voices are in the community, so that once we get to that point to have that these community engagement meetings, it's something that we know we have the right people in the room, and now we're asking and we're showing, this is what we're bringing here. we want to hear your thoughts about what does your community need? What does it look like to have a space like this come into your neighborhood, and it may not have been in here before? Just being open and listening and just saying, how can I help? It doesn't always come in the form of the building looking a certain way or mm-hmm. there being a certain thing in the building through programming. I think my background in architecture allows me to be able to kind of sift through the feasibility of what can be done in a design and programmatic way, and then the things that can't, that we hear from the community, now working with the developer to say, all right, this might mean you have to put in certain amount of resources that isn't part of this building, but maybe you're putting in resources into these small businesses around here so that while this building is here, it may be raising rents, it may be doing this, but we're also helping out businesses to be able to still stay here and not be displaced. So it's like a balancing game of what can be done through design and what can be done through resources. But that all starts by coming in and asking, like, how can we help? Or what is it there that you feel like would make this a good project? Because no matter how much you do this, you're never going to know until you ask.
Got it. So it sounds like it's recommended and sometimes mandated to involve the community in the planning, like what you have going on as a developer, mm-hmm. receiving their feedback, and also trying to make sure, ideally, that the community gets something out of it outside of just like a building.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And a really good word you used was a lot of times is mandated. And unfortunately, that's when things start to get checked off. Like, they may say that you have to have X amount on the community meetings throughout this process. And more often than not, you go into these community meetings just as a fly on the wall. And it's just the developer saying, hey, this is what we're doing. Now you know. Bye. Like, not as straightforward as that, but that's pretty much the thought process you could see going through. Like, we're letting you know this is happening. We're listening to you, quote unquote, complain about what you don't like, but nothing's going to actually change. And so that's why it's a push, at least from my end, and I know from a lot of other colleagues, to really have authentic impact creating engagement. Because I think that's the key thing that's missing in a lot of this engagement is the impact side. Like, when you engage, what's actually the outcome of it? Mm-hmm. And it should be a form of impact with whatever community you're in.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue. And be sure to leave us 5 stars and a review on your favorite podcast listening platform. Until next time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.